Listen to me. This.
In stock. And, I remember when that came out. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. Sandy Williams is in the studio. And Sandy, he, Edwin Starr never lied. War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You and I were talking about the advancement of the Russian war machine in Kharkiv and
Kiev and Kharkiv and, yeah. And Kherson and Russia has the option of attacking Ukraine from every direction, and they're beginning to do that. So they've attacked from four different angles at this point, including through Belarus. I was saying before the break, I think the horror of this is that, we're all totally taken by the bravery of the Ukrainians and their ability to stave off this lion that's after them. But I was trying to equate it to something, and I really do think it's like the gladiators with Spartacus out there, and they're going to just keep, lions are just going to keep going out there, and they're going to keep putting barbarians and lions in front of the gladiators. And there was someone up there who could give a thumbs up,
right,
and save him. Okay, there's no one out there with a thumbs up, thumbs down option for the Ukrainians. It's clear from a socio-demographic standpoint, from a geopolitical standpoint, we are not going to send boots into Ukraine. We've tinkered with Ukraine. We've sent them money and weapons sufficient to give them sort of the Dutch courage to stand up to Russia in the past and to in the negotiations Russia was having with them about, for instance, NATO. You know, we saw Zelensky yesterday saying, look, I'm not in NATO. And he was tantamount to saying, I have no interest in going into NATO. If we had probably not propped up the Zelensky government with money and munitions, there would have been a treaty to that effect some while ago, and this attack might not have happened at all. So, you have to go backwards in time and figure out, okay, how do we set the table for all this happening? And then you have to go forward in time and say, what's going to happen as the result of this? And right now, Americans are, I think, reading the paper and almost smiling with the fact that the sanctions that are being imposed are being embraced so broadly across the world that Russia is being essentially sealed off from the rest of the world economically, and we're going to, as the English said, ruin the Russian economy, bring it to its knees. Well, that's 144 million people in Russia. We're talking about and worrying about saving the freedom for and democracy, whatever that means exactly, in terms of, we tend to talk about saving democracy when we go into Afghanistan or when we go into Iraq, and when we leave, we haven't really restored it or created it. And so we're talking about the democracy of 40 some million Ukrainians, and in the process we're taking 144 million people in Russia, subjecting them to a severe hardship. And then the question is, what is that hardship going to do to them in terms of their own national outlook and in terms of the politics of Russia? And by isolating Russia, what does that do? And then this morning, I'll cut myself off in a minute, but this morning I was reading an interesting opinion piece in The Guardian by a guy named Edgerton, who was pointing out from an economic and financial standpoint how the long-term effects of sanctioning to the point of freezing the assets of central banks could have a highly destructive effect on, number one, the vision of central banks of what constitutes safe reserves, and number two, from our own personal standpoint, the dollar as an international currency. We could well find out down the road that what we've started out now is the dominoes falling from something that will cause the dollar to stop being the international currency. And I've talked about it in the past. the dollar being an international currency is vital to the American financial situation.
You know, Sandy, we've clearly, the United States, you talked about the damage that's going to be done to 144 million Russians as and 40 million
Ukrainians.
And people have sided with the 40 million Ukrainians because Russia invaded them. And they're not going to be able to see the other side, I think, of what you just posed. And they may think that you may be saying that, you know, well, what are we, what shouldn't we feel the pain of the 144 million? You know, I mean,
well, I just think as human beings with empathy, we ought to understand that economic sanctions are not a painless, it's possibly more humane in terms of what the photos look like of the people who are suffering. But there is a great deal of suffering that occurs when an economy collapses and 144 million people are affected. But I think you can also just look at this from the self-interest of the United States, which I'm not in favor of. I think we are. I think everyone in the world ought to take world views, and we could end up without having invasions anywhere, and we could end up having a far different outlook in terms of diplomacy. But if we just take our own national interest in heart, We should look ahead, not just at the instant time, but we should look ahead at what we're fostering. And what we're fostering is possibly, number one, a totally isolated Russia. And if it's not totally isolated, it will be aligned with a very limited number of countries. And one of the questions is, will one of those countries be China? And if China sees what's going on with respect to for instance, freezing of the reserves of Russia, China, they hold immense amounts of central bank reserves as a result of their huge balance of payment surplus, and a lot of those are dollars. And if China decides that they have to get out of what they're currently holding in terms of their reserves, get out of dollars and start using something else, well, what have we started? Have we started a new international cryptocurrency as reserves? Are we getting everyone to go to gold? Gold is going to fly up. I'm confident the price of gold will fly up as a result of the sanctions that have been taken. And then what's going to happen to a country that is a world that is deglobalizing? I mean, we had globalization, and in America, part of us knew that globalization was taking American jobs away, but another part of us knew that globalization was fostering international cooperations such that we could look at China and say, well, is China going to do something dramatic and warlike? No, I don't think so, because they're too involved with world trade to want to do that. That's the result of globalization. The intertwining of economies causes people not to want to stick pointy sticks in one another's eyes.
So you're saying the dollar stands the chance of taking a tremendous hit? Value of the dollar, if this...
In the long run. In the short run, of course, rubles have collapsed and dollars have climbed. And as long as dollars are perceived as being the safe currency, people will continue to go to it. But how safe is a currency when the government can simply announce by fiat that it will no longer honor those dollar obligations to a central bank? If the central bank doesn't toe the line. And, you know, there are not that many central banks possibly in the world who think they might not toe the line according to Washington's view, but one of them is definitely China.
So, you know, one of the things I think is that most Americans don't realize just how many dollars are held by foreign countries. We seem to think the dollar, and we think America and Americans own the lion's share of that currency, but...
Oh, huge amounts of dollars because of our imbalance of trade. Every dollar of imbalance in trade each year goes in the pockets of another foreigner, whether it's in a foreign country or a foreign corporation. And so there's been a huge accumulation. Trillions of dollars have accumulated in the coffers of non-Americans with respect to American dollar obligations. But it's not just the obligations that are important. It's the fact that the dollar itself is respected so much and viewed as such a stable, safe currency that it is used as the defined medium or dollar or currency commodity for trading throughout the world in all kinds of trades. That's why it's called the world currency. Right. But if it isn't the world currency, then people will no longer want to hold U.S. debt. The whole nature of the foundation for our ability to operate financially will change.
So we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams in the studio. We'll be right back. Can't give life.